Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, February 9, 2022. State government employees went on rampage in Bor town.
We were marching to go and ask the governor, and the governor denied our right, and he was firing us with his bodyguard.
And truck drivers from Kenya and Uganda complain about new entry fees introduced by the South Sudan government.
It will scare me, especially if I can say straight away. $130, I'll find it very expensive.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. At least 9 people were injured after hundreds of protesters clashed with the bodyguards of the Jonglei state governor in Bor town Wednesday. Hundreds of angry government employees marched to the office of Governor Dine Jokchagur to protest the governor's decision to deduct parts of their salaries. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
In a letter dated January 31st, Chagur ordered the state finance minister to deduct the allowances of state civil servants. Civil servants promptly rejected the move, including teachers who went on a strike. During today's demonstrations, protesters clashed with the governor's bodyguards and overran the state headquarters. Some protesters accused Chagur's bodyguards of beating them and firing gunshots at them. Protester Peter Mayanagany says Chagur bodyguards fired live bullets, injuring at least 9 protesters.
We were marching to go and ask the governor, and the governor denied our right, and he was firing us with his bodyguard. And these bodyguards were wounded, a lot of civil servants. And these civil servants, they were going without anything. We were demonstrating, and we can't wound anyone in the state.
Agan says teachers and other civil servants have gone on a strike and will continue protesting until the governor reverses his decision to cut their salaries. Agan says the teachers will not give exam to primary 8 candidates who are expected to sit for their national examinations on Monday if their grievances are not addressed.
We were being harassed, and it shows that there is no democracy in this country. Why we are called civil servants and we are not having anything? So we want our right to be fulfilled without harassment. That is why we were fought with those of Arab, because of the humiliation and oppression. As the teachers in the state and some of us, as a health servant in the whole state, they are now serving and the works day and night without money. They have families and they have children in the school, and they don't pay their school fees, and the examination is now almost. What can we do as teachers and health people? This government of deny is more corrupt than any government.
Another protester at Temedeng says although security is general concern, it is not a duty of civil servant to pay for security, which is funded in the national budget. Deng says if there is not enough funding for security, Governor Chagur would have called for a fundraising campaign. He says to deduct civil servants' allowances for security without the approval is illegal. Agany is calling on the national government in Juba to intervene.
This issue is now out of hand. The governor is now sending us a security organ to deal with the civil. When we civil, we did not win with any violence. We were demand for our right. So I ask government or Mr. President, Selfa Kirma Yadid, to confirm this to deny Chagur, such that we will be fair with our money and issue of sending us this security organ to shoot us and to beat us, that one day will not be good.
Jonglei State Information Minister Veronica Williams says state officials were unable to come to the office today because protesting civil servants shut down the state government headquarters. She admits Chagur bodyguard fired live bullets during the demonstration, but says the protesters were aggressive.
The allowances were taken because the state government does not want any incident such as what happened in Baidit. It's their right, but the government wants to address insecurity first. Yes, the guards shot some bullets, but they didn't injure anyone. All the government offices are closed. There's a government in the state, and if the offices remain closed, it is not good. Let them open the office and their issues will be addressed.
William is referring to an incident in late January in which 32 people were killed and several others were injured during fighting in Baidit Payam. William says the much-anticipated opening of the state legislature, which was scheduled to happen today, has also been disrupted. Abraham Mading Mamir, the acting head of the Jonglei Trade Workers Union, is adamant that the protests will continue if the government fails to pay the allowances. Samuel Majer Lodge, the Secretary General of the Workers' Trade Union in Jonglei State, says men in uniform stormed his home last night and harassed his wife and children. The head of the Striking Teachers Committee, Ruben Matiob, was also arrested this morning by security operatives. Several phone calls to State Police Commissioner Joseph Mayanakon went unanswered. Majang Daniel Tuor, the State Police spokesperson, denied knowledge of any arrest or of the civil servant protests. This is the second time in recent month that Jonglei civil servants staged a protest in regards to their salaries. In December, a committee tasked by President Salva Kiir to investigate the root causes of civil servant protests in Jonglei state capital Bor ordered the state government to pay civil servants according to the new salary structure. That was after employees rejected their salaries and staged demonstration to protest what they termed the state's modified salary structure, which does not follow the salary structure with the 100% increment according to the president's order. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
A Somali businessman in Juba says his business proceeds has vanished after a fuel depot in Korwulyong, suburb of Juba, exploded on Wednesday. No casualties were reported. Viola Elias has more for VOA from Juba.
The fuel depot owner, who prefers to be identified only as Abdul Shukur, says the fire was caused by an overheated generator. He says the fire erupted when his workers tried to transfer fuel to another truck. Abdul Shukur says there was no fatalities in the explosion, but he lost three trucks.
There is no casualty, no death, no injuries, and only damages on the trucks. We lost three trucks and one full tank of petrol, and this is what happened. Each truck may cost between $70,000 to $80,000. Thank God that all the damages were material, no life was lost.
Abdul Shukur says he appreciates the South Sudan and Central Equatorial State Government, fire brigade officials, security forces and officials from the Somali embassy visiting the scene of the fire this morning. Captain Joseph Peter, head of Central Equatorial State Fire Brigade, says firefighters received phone calls about the fire about 7 p.m. and immediately rushed to the scene. Peter says he and his team of firefighters noticed the fuel depot did not have safety measures in place.
We found there are no fire extinguishers here, so we are going to take measures to see how they got approval for this place, because the place where this depot has been put is not suitable since this is a residential area as well, so it is prohibited to have a petroleum depot next to where there are civilians or residential areas. So I think this is wrong, and as administration of fire brigades, we are going to review how this company got their license to operate here and how they were allowed to work in this place.
Alex Bennett, the Juba County director who visited the scene this morning, says the state government disapproves of the building fuel depots in the residential areas.
But in our plans, we have no depot supposed to be in the residential areas. But what happened is that the people who are giving the plots, the owners of the plots, it is them to lease to the investors who want to invest in petroleum or petroleum products. So we as a government, we have no plan to give the depot in the residential areas. But it is only the owners of the plots that without the consent of the government.
Several fires have been reported in Juba over the past several months, especially in the markets. In February last year, a fire gutted 10 hardware shops in the Jebel Market, destroying buildings materials worth more than $500,000. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
In Ghana last month, a truck en route to an international run gold mine exploded and killed 13 people. Yesterday, the country's lands ministry said The Spanish company in charge of the vehicle violated storage and transport laws and has been fined $6 million. The truck was transporting explosives owned by Madrid-based Maxim Corporation to Chirango Gold Mine, run by Toronto-based Kinross Gold Corporation. The van collided with a motorbike, caught fire, and exploded, leveling a roadside village and injuring 100 people. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, truck drivers from Kenya and Uganda complain about new charges for entering South Sudan. Stay tuned for that story after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there such a thing as unconditional love?
The reason why I say it's there, because I've seen my parents and I've seen there is unconditional love in their relationship. Basing on the way like my dad treats my mom, the love is unconditional.
No, I don't think that. It's very difficult to predict human beings. So human beings are just unpredictable. Anybody can change at any time. So that's why I believe there is no unconditional love.
I'm one of the people who believe in real love, and therefore I believe in unconditional love. It exists. It's there. It's been exercised among people, and we have the ability to give unconditional love. So it's there.
Honestly, I've not been there before, so I don't know much about it, but a lot of things that I've seen people are struggling to love each other.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Truck drivers from Kenya and Uganda say South Sudan's recent decision to impose an annual fee of $100 and a $30 entry and exit fee on all vehicles coming in and leaving the country will pose huge burden on their finances. The head of a logistic company operating in South Sudan says the new fees will affect commodity prices. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Juba.
South Sudan's Interior Ministry says the charges are to enhance security measures at border checkpoints by automated data collection, analysis, digital tagging, and license plate recognition. The charges go into effect next month, but drivers say they are already incurring a lot of losses on their way to Juba through the multiple checkpoints along the Nimule Highway. Kenyan truck driver John Ndemo traveled to South Sudan for the first time this week. He says he will find the fees prohibitive if the $30 must be paid each time drivers enter and exit the country.
It will scare me, especially if I can say straight away. $130, I will find it very expensive. Because already I'm incurring the cost of fuel all the way and other expenses to humanly anyway, to keep me coming. So I think if the government can consider that and make it a little, maybe one way.
Ndemo says many investors who wish to come and invest in South Sudan may feel discouraged if the environment is not conducive for business, as it is in most parts of the East African region. He says the government should not scare people away.
My input as a driver is to transport goods all the way from Mombasa to Juba. And then Juba is our East African country, and it's the youngest actually among all these countries. So I also have that contribution as a person. And my prayer is to see Southern Sudan and Juba coming to the standard of the rest of the East African countries.
Ugandan truck driver Debe Augustine says although he was happy that at least this time he felt safer driving to Juba, it will become difficult if drivers must pay the new fees imposed by the government every time they enter the country.
These days we are paying a lot of things. We are paying a lot of money. Taxes, what, producer, what. Every day we are getting any challenges. We are getting challenges for money, taking money. It will affect me a lot because even the money I'm coming with it, they are finished on the road. And so if we put that money, it means I'm going to pay him on my salary, I will get it from where.
The new fees go into effect March 1st. This order provoked the East African community to petition South Sudan to ensure that vehicles from the regional bloc are exempted from these new charges. In a statement issued by John Bosco Kalisa, Chief Executive Officer of the East African Business Council, on February 4th, the charges are exceedingly high and will increase the cost of doing cross-border business in East Africa, especially transportation and logistics costs, on top of the costs caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Peter Awongo, Chief Executive Officer of TrueLine Africa, a logistics company operating in South Sudan that transports vehicles and other goods into the country, says the new charges will affect everyone in South Sudan because commodity prices will rise once truck drivers go on strike again.
These are non-tariff barriers that make the cost of doing business high. And we expect fuel prices to go up when this order is implemented, because truck drivers need to complain and strike. But for us as businesses, the person who ultimately suffers these orders is going to be the final consumer.
Aongo says it's unfortunate that South Sudan has people in positions of authority who use their authority without considering the effect of their decisions on citizens. He says the government had issued controversial orders before aimed at extorting money from traders.
The government of South Sudan has introduced a number of orders, like the certificate of destination, which is just issuing an A4 paper and they're charging $400, $355. Certificate of destination has never been charged anywhere in the world except for South Sudan, which is very unfortunate. Then they came in with the issue of ECTN, the electronic cargo tracking device. They just give a document. They are not tracking the cargo.
South Sudan's Ministry of Trade and Industry suspended the Certificate of Destination document in South Sudan as well as their Ugandan counterparts when East African truck drivers staged a strike in Malaba and Elegunia, South Sudan's borders, in Kenya and Uganda respectively. East Africans are permitted to drive private cars across borders in the EAC region for visits not longer than 7 days. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, warns the Horn of Africa is facing a climate-induced emergency and says the international community must act now to prevent a catastrophic loss of life and livelihoods. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The specter of the 2011 famine in Somalia hangs over the dire situation confronting millions of people in the Horn of Africa. That emergency killed 250,000 people, half of them children. Hunger and malnutrition have worsened in the region after 3 years of consecutive drought. But famine has not been reported in any area. UN agencies, however, say that could rapidly change. The UN Children's Fund predicts as many as 20 million people in Eritrea, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia will need water and food assistance in the next 6 months. Mohamed Malik Fall is UNICEF Eastern and Southern African Regional Director. Speaking on a line from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, he says children will be among the biggest victims of this crisis.
Right now, nearly 5.5 million children in these four countries are threatened by acute malnutrition, and an estimated 1.4 million children by severe acute malnutrition. UNICEF fears that this number will increase by 50% if the rain don't come in the next 3 months.
Three dry seasons in a row have decimated crops, led to severe water scarcity, and killed livestock. This has forced families to leave their homes in search of grazing land and water, increasing the risk of disease and severe malnutrition. The World Food Program estimates 13 million people across Ethiopia, Kenya, and Somalia are gripped by severe hunger. UNICEF's Mohamed Fall says children caught in this climate emergency are missing out on meals, on school, and on access to life-saving health services.
Families are taking extreme measures to survive, and in many cases leaving their home, which put children on the move at particular risk. This is a crisis that required a collective response, ensuring access to clean water, nutrition, and safe space for children.
UNICEF is appealing for $123 million to provide life-saving aid for the most vulnerable in the four countries until the end of June. It warns many children will die or end up with lifelong cognitive or physical damage if the international community fails to act quickly. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Cameroon has erected the sanitary barriers around poultry farms in the western city of Bafoussam after an outbreak of highly contagious H5N1 flu. Authorities say a huge number of birds, while farmers say they have been forced to cull thousands of chickens. Mukedun Kinzika reports from Bafoussam, Cameroon.
At the chicken market in Bafoussam, the Association of Chicken Sellers says at least 1,300 birds were sent to cities across the country Tuesday, despite a bird flu outbreak. Jordane Kapsa is a spokesperson for the association. He says they fear that chickens may be killed after livestock officials told them of the bird flu outbreak this week in Konso, a nearby village.
Nos encadreurs du marché nous ont prévenus.
Kepsa says livestock officials have visited the Bafoussam chicken market several times this week to ask sellers to report whenever their birds stop eating or have labored breathing. He says the sellers are vigilant because some poultry farm owners bring sick birds to sell at cheaper prices. A statement by Cameroon's West Region Governor on Monday said the highly pathogenic H5N1 bird flu caused a significant number of bird deaths at a poultry farm. It gave no further details. Jonas Temwa is the most senior government livestock official in the region.
Lors de la suspicion, une barrière sanitaire a été immédiatement érigée au niveau de ce foyer pour empêcher.
Temwa says tests conducted by Cameroon's National Veterinary Laboratory confirmed the outbreak of the pathogenic H5N1 bird flu in Konso village. He says the government immediately erected sanitary barriers and deployed several police officers to stop the buying and selling of birds on farms. Temwa says access to the farms is limited to livestock workers who are authorized to kill the birds. Temwa says the killing of sick birds began on Monday as ordered by the national government. He would not give the number of birds killed, but described it as huge. Three poultry farmers in Bafoussam told VOA they each lost at least 1,000 birds due to the virus or through culling due to exposure to the infection. Cameroonian authorities say the outbreak has so far been contained in Bafoussam and surrounding villages. Cameroon's livestock minister says only birds with sanitary certificates that show they are not contaminated are authorized to be sold. Cameroon's Interprofessional Association of Poultry Farmers says the H5N1 virus may have been imported through chicken feed, which authorities are investigating. François Djounou is president of the association. Djounou says all poultry farmers in Cameroon should be patient and disciplined. He also says he is certain that if all poultry farmers respect measures taken by the government, the outbreak will be quickly controlled. Cameroon's last outbreak of bird flu in 2016 forced the culling of 45,000 birds while hundreds of producers lost their jobs. Cameroon has been recovering from a scarcity of chickens that came with supply disruptions amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Poultry sellers say trade restrictions to stop the spread of COVID-19 created a shortage and drove up chicken prices. Cameroon has been importing chicks and hatching eggs from Brazil, the world's largest exporter of poultry, to meet demand. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Bafoussam, Cameroon.
From Cameroon, we move to Western Equatoria, where the Azande community in Western Equatoria are marking Budue Day, a day set aside to celebrate King Budue, who died in 1802. King Budue fought colonialists and was regarded as a fierce fighter. He also fought other communities in Western Equatoria in an attempt to extend his kingdom to parts of the Equatorial region. South Sudan's Speaker of the National Assembly, Nuno Kumba, arrived in Yambio to take part in the celebrations. That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now end this show with a traditional Zande song. Listening to a traditional Zande song. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
teya kindona yaka because jare dana yamuse ani yugosinolani fo verani ani kuyamuse na ili sofuka ni amurakoro kaboro yanga bene kutsirani nikogobene paia abwa pai manyi kusari kwa barehe ani mbuhe